part two of our series on sex trafficking with Jeff Tease coming up on today's podcast.
This is The Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Hey folks, Chuck Holton, thanks for watching Hot Zone. I'm going to get right into the second part of this three-part series about sex trafficking with my former Ranger buddy, and he's a former special operator, Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Teagues. Jeff is working now with the Guardian Group. The Guardian Group is a group of former special operators and intel guys who specialize in tracking down human traffickers and putting them behind bars, working with local police officers. So check out what Jeff has to say about the Guardian Group. Okay, so tell me about Guardian Group and how you do this, because you're putting together a team of people from very high levels of the special operations community, the intelligence community in the United States, and you're going after these people. And I've often said, oh my gosh, wouldn't it be awesome if you could take like Delta Force and send them after these perverts and wackos, these pimps and pushers and things like that in the United States. But of course, we've got posse comitatus, we can't really do that. But you're taking retired people and you're applying those skill sets to this problem. But how are you doing it? I mean, you're not kicking in doors and like, I mean, that'd be fun, but you're, that's not how you work, right?
Yeah, and that's a good distinction too, because you can kick in doors in foreign countries. They will invite you in, you know, and again, the big Americans with all this money, we have law enforcement that does that. So what we do is, when you think of that cycle, do you, this was a little past your time, but I'm sure you know of it, of the F3EA cycle, the counterterrorism cycle. Are you familiar with that at all?
I'm not.
Find,
no, what is it?
Oh, okay. So in the counterterrorism world, somewhere, I don't know, some genius officer for his OER.
Are you talking about find, fix, finish?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, go ahead and describe it.
So that find, fix, finish, exploit, analyze. Those, that is the counterterrorism model. So what we've done with Guardian Group is we've taken that model that, again, Delta Force and special operations in the US has perfected around the globe, and we've laid that over trafficking. But the one distinction is the there isn't a finish for us, it's a facilitate. So we find, fix, facilitate, and then exploit, analyze. So we just take that model and we lay it over. And blending the answer to this question into your last one, because I didn't fully answer it, is it's very difficult to see the difference between somebody who's being exploitive, a trafficker, and just a boyfriend. Or even like you said, when we were boyfriends, who we wanted something. We wanted sex. Okay.
I was a turd, man. I'm telling you, I was terrible. And I certainly deserve to have somebody kick in my door more than once when I was a teenager, that's for sure.
Right. So how does that in the beginning stages look differently from a pimp? It doesn't, because the pimps do the exact same things that we do as young men to attract a girl. But then there's that pivot where and it's called the breaking phase.
Into manipulation.
Right. So, but one thing I would say, I still feel like I owe you a better answer from the previous one, is even though you are after something physical from a girl, did you feel like you needed to control her and isolate her from her family and friends and other things?
No, I mean, I always saw myself as the good guy. And this, right, this is what took me so long to understand. I actually just finished writing a book about this, because as I see my own sons going through this, these phases where they're getting to the point where they look at, you know, hey, whoa, you know, I want them to understand what I didn't back then. And that is that I wanted to be the white knight. I wanted to ride in on my white horse and save this girl from a boring weekend, or save her from a dad that was overbearing, or, you know, I wanted to be the good guy. But I had all this testosterone and hormones and stuff that would just push me right over the edge every time. And what I didn't understand was that what she needed protection from was me. Yeah. And so the good man, the best thing to do would be to take myself out of the equation, at least from the standpoint of being alone with this girl and putting ourselves in a situation where we could go too far.
Yeah. So that's the difficulty. So when parents are trying to figure out, is there exploitation going on with this man? Okay. Where we begin to see it is that isolation. So when you began to actually fall in love with a girl, like actually want her for more than her, than just, you know, being physical with you.
Yeah. Just eye candy or sex on.
Right. What do you start doing? You start investing in her family. You start investing in those things that you know make her who she is. If she goes to church, if she's a cheerleader, if she's in band, if she's in debate club, suddenly those interests become your interests, right? Mm-hmm. So that is moving towards a healthy relationship. And that will not sustain for a pimp or a trafficker. So they may pretend they're the white knight. They may pretend to be interested in your family and the fact that your daughter is in glee club, okay? But at some point, they've got to separate her from all of that. Because
they've got to isolate her.
Right. So that's the isolation that parents need to look for. And it rarely happens overnight. It's usually slow. So that's the thing that I tell parents, is you're looking for that isolation and control. Because at worst, This is a young man or an older man who is exploiting your daughter to drag her into the sex trade. At best, this is just an idiot ass kid who you don't want in your daughter's life either.
That's
way.
Right.
So it's hard to see. Okay. So I feel a little bit more satisfied on that first one. What does this look like? It's really difficult to see, but what it is it's unhealthy. Okay. It's an unhealthy relationship. But here's the other one. When your daughter begins to be much more sexual in the way she dresses and the way she speaks. Okay. Again, not a clear cut indicator, right? Because a lot of girls go through that. A lot of girls, that's part of what they think is becoming a woman,
right,
is dressing overly sexual, speaking overly sexual. But there are specific terms that really only exist in the pimping and trafficking world. And you know, that would have to be another discussion, but those are things to look for.
Those are probably not family friendly, I would imagine.
No.
I saw on one talk that you gave, I saw on YouTube, where you mentioned branding. Can you describe what that is?
Yeah. So as a trafficker develops his group of girls, and that group of girls is called a stable. And again, Chuck, there's boys involved too, but what we predominantly look at, and again, what's the market? The men are predominantly the buyers. The girls are predominantly being sold, and you know, and the men are selling type of thing. So just to keep it simple. So what again is really devious with these traffickers is they will brand their girls. They will physically brand them with a tattoo, just like you would brand cattle. And why do we brand cattle? It is to deconflict.
Ownership.
One is to show ownership, and two is to deconflict from somebody else's stable of animals.
Okay.
So I know as a pimp, when I walk into a room or I walk into a party and I see the different brands, I know who owns what. And there are rules that the pimps follow. It is against the pimp rules for me to approach a girl who's clearly branded. So it's a way to deconflict their product so they're not infighting. Okay. But here's the other one that's really, again, psychologically devious. Did you end up ever getting any tattoos in the military?
I did not, just because everybody else did and I wanted to be different. So
so you're the rebel. Okay. I've got a couple on my back. Okay. And my first one was right after Panama. Our squad all got this terribly hand-drawn skull and beret and dagger through the head. You know, that there was our squad. You know, it's covered up with a giant cross now, but you know what I mean? Like, but why do we do that? Aside from guys like you, the rebel, why do men in the military get tattoos?
It's a make you feel like you belong to something.
Boom. So oftentimes the branding can be used as a control measure. Like the girl doesn't want to be branded, and it's him breaking her spirit again. I own you. My name is literally on your body. But sometimes when it's that girl who's looking for that sense of belonging, it's a party. It's a branding party. It's an initiation. They're now in this sisterhood. They're called sisters or sister wives. They're now in this group of 5, 6, 8 women that have a sense of belonging, and they all share something that's important to them. So there's two
a girl at McDonald's a while back that had John on her neck. And I always ask people about their tattoos because I'm interested. And I said, who's John? And she said, my ex-boyfriend. And I said, well, there's a great way to fix that. You just put 3:16 in front of that. And
oh, that's clever. Yeah, I'm going to have to keep that one in mind when I see those. Or yeah, or Philip, like then Philippians. Yeah, you need to open a tattoo parlor where you're just transitioning that. So, but what you commented too, when people are looking at branding, almost always they are someplace that can be recognized. It's on a neck, it's on behind the ear, it's on the chest, it's on the wrist, it's on the ankle. Because again, there's a twofold purpose. One is the deconflicting the product. So I have to be able to see it if it's all covered up. If it's on your left butt cheek, no one's going to be able to see that. And then the second one too is that sense of ownership. So when people are looking at these brandings, that's what they're looking for in the physical world. Now, what we have figured out with Guardian Group is the branding in the virtual world. Okay, so now I'm still trying to answer your question from your very first question. How do we know this? Okay, how do we see this? How can we be forewarned? So these same symbols that they get tattooed on their bodies, those things will be placed quite often in an Instagram profile or a Facebook profile or in these different social media sites, because now the pimping world and trafficking has left just the physical world. Okay. Like back when you and I were growing up.
Yeah, you'd have to go down on the street corner looking for a prostitute or something like that, right?
But for a buyer, but for a pimp, to exploit a young girl, he had to go to the playground or the library or the mall or the bus stop or wherever it was that they were. Now they're still out there in the physical world, but they're able to expand their reach because of the virtual world. So like right now in COVID-19, dude, these pimps are reaching hundreds of girls per pimp. They are on the internet just talking to girls and becoming that, pretending they're that white knight. Pretending they're the one that's going to be able to support them with all these things. Right. And once they get that girl a certain distance where she is now ready to be branded, you can see that signal pop up on their social media. So those are some of the things that Guardian Group does. So if your daughter is going out with a loser, okay, is he a pimp? Is he a trafficker? How do we know? So one of the things that we will do for the community is we'll look at his profile. Okay, does he associate with people that have a history of pimping or a history of prostitution? Is he using these terms and these emojis and all these other indicators that he's involved in trafficking? So those are all the things that we try to find to push to law enforcement. So if somebody called us and said, my daughter ran away, and law enforcement says, hey, we got to wait the mandatory 24 hours, what Guardian Group can do in that interim is try to see if there's evidence of exploitation. And then
just had that happen actually last week with some friends of ours from our church in West Virginia who have a daughter who's, I think, in 20, 21 or whatever. And she just disappeared for like 2 days. And she's beautiful and she's maybe a little dumb. And so they were really afraid, but the police wouldn't do anything about it because A, she's an adult. B, she hasn't been gone 24 hours. She did turn back up, but I'm pretty sure she's involved with some, you know, guy who needs to, you know, some waste of air that probably needs a few free flying lessons from, you know, somebody. But
so this is one of those cases from the community, and it's similar to what we do for law enforcement, but we get these calls all the time, just like you're saying. So we will look at that girl's social media and look for these indicators of exploitation, look for her friends and what potentially might be out there. So when we're able to go back to law enforcement and say, hey man, we spent 8 hours scouring social media on all these girls' secret accounts, because they all, you know what I mean? Usually when they're moving into this space, they have all these different things the parents don't know. And here are the indicators that we see that she's at risk for trafficking. That's enough for them to move now. That's enough. It doesn't matter if she's 18 or 26. Now they have probable cause, reasonable suspicion to start to run with that case. You know, the number one thing that we're looking for is let's take that girl that you commented on in West Virginia. We need to grab all of anything that we can identify online, phone numbers from her, phone numbers from her friends, social media sites and images. And then we will go to the escort sites in West Virginia or wherever they think the girl is at. And we will try to visibly identify her or tie a phone number or some sort of, you know, username, password type crap to an escort site. Because when you have that physical evidence that a girl is being sold online, it's game over. Cops are running and they're moving on it. So in lieu of a report from the community, in lieu of cops asking us for our help, that's what we do day in and day out, is we scour the escort ads and we put a true identity to that girl for sale.
Now, all right, folks, that's the second of three podcasts about this. We're going to finish up our conversation with Jeff Teagues on Friday. So make sure you come back for that. Incredible stuff. Share these podcasts with your friends. Anybody you know that has a teenage girl or that works in the hospitality industry, like hotels or anything like that, medical professionals or law enforcement, they all need to know this information, because this is important stuff about how to keep our daughters and sons safe from the perverts and wackos that are out there in today's society. So we'll see you again on Friday.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.